My name is Paul Ciola. Thank you for attending this Store Simple Cloud Integrated Storage session. I hope you're going to enjoy it. A little background about me. I've joined Microsoft recently. I've been there now nearly 5 months. I joined the incubation team in Western Europe. I'm resident in Switzerland, and I look after countries also outside of Switzerland, including Nordics, Ireland, Austria, and so forth, surrounding this particular piece, this particular technology. In terms of the agenda for today, I'm going to give you an overview of storage, the challenges associated with storage today in customer environments. I'm going to discuss how cloud-integrated storage actually tries to solve those challenges. Then we're going to talk a little bit more about the cloud-integrated storage Store Simple solution, the primary storage and platform itself. Then we're going to go on to a deeper angle in terms of cloud-integrated tiering. What is it? How does it work? And then, of course, on everyone's topic of discussion these days, cloud security and how we overcome that and mitigate the risks there. Afterwards, I'm going to explain the backup and restore and disaster recovery technologies and feature sets that we have within the cloud-integrated storage solution today. And then I'm going to show you in a demo, hopefully, everything working. So I hope you enjoy that. And then we'll finalize by just discussing cloud economics and what it means to customers and from a commercial stance point, where customers are seeing solution fits with this technology. And we'll just summarize the major benefits associated. Can everyone understand me? Am I speaking okay? Good? Okay, perfect. Apologies, mein Deutsch ist ein bisschen schlecht. I've only been here a year and a bit, so it's much better if I deliver it in English, okay? But next year I'll try in German. Okay, moving on. So straight into the overview. So today, just hands up, who are storage administrators here or who looks after storage? Okay, a few of you. So you all rely on your storage administrators probably then to provision storage to your applications and to your servers. Storage administrators, they have a big problem today given that data center growth footprint is just continually growing and growing. IDC recommend that in the next, let's say, in the next 2 to 3 years, the cloud storage market is going to be $15 billion. And in comparison to a local on-premise market, which is $75 billion, that's quite a big investment in cloud storage. And there's reasons for that, and there's economics around that, and we'll go into that. But today, with on-premise storage models, you have challenges with equipment sprawl, data growth and footprint, the increase on your data center, the power, the cooling associated to that, the challenges with performance management, capacity management. Then you've got backup issues associated to all that data. Then you've got the tiering associated to that. Where should I place this piece of data? Where should I place that? And then, of course, you've got the added complexity of disaster recovery, which can sometimes duplicate your solution or you don't know what to do with it. Tape infrastructure management, a challenge. The advent of VTL, replication, deduplication, offsite for requirements, compliance, audit, and so forth. So, as you grow with your storage footprint on-premise, these problems compound and get larger and larger. And in turn, they become more complex and more expensive as time goes on. So where does cloud integrated storage fit in and how can it help you? So cloud integrated storage with Windows Azure, Store Simple and Windows Azure is a hybrid cloud storage model. So what that means, quite simply, is that you have a 2U appliance or a 4U appliance on-premise inside your data center serving your applications and your servers with regards to storage. And through the tiering mechanisms that we have, which are automated, we then tier the lower performing, the infrequent data to Azure. And we'll talk about that a little later. The features that we have in terms of what we can actually do with the Store Simple appliance is quite unique. First of all, we are an enterprise storage SAN. So I'll caveat that. We are an enterprise storage SAN at a tier 2, tier 3 level. Okay, so we're not going to go and compete against your tier 1 OLTP applications, your vast exchange environments that require high IOPS, your SQL footprints, your Oracle, and so forth. We're not there. That's not where we play. But we see a major benefit in terms of going for after tier 2 and tier 3 workloads, i.e. virtual machines, i.e. SharePoint, i.e. files, i.e. archives, and we'll explain that a little more. In turn, with all the features that we have, we believe that we can offer a lower total cost of ownership than what you actually do today with all your complex pieces of the puzzle that fit together inside a storage environment today. So this is traditionally what we actually see inside storage footprints. So you've got a working set of data, which is generally your frequently accessed set of data, okay? And for those people who don't understand that concept, it's basically your application is reading and writing quickest to those blocks, to those disks. Eventually, over time, if you assume a file share, everyone has a home drive, your frequent documents are being accessed, but you've probably got 90% of the space associated to your home drives or your file shares is dormant or cold data. And if you were to do an assessment inside your data center, look at your storage profiles for the data that's actually frequent as opposed to the data that's actually infrequent, just in case data or cold data just there, you will actually find a shocking statistic. It will probably be anywhere between 80 and 90% of storage footprint is associated to data which is just still not doing anything, just there. We believe that that 80%, that 90% of data subject to your workloads, that data we will tier off to the cloud. And in terms of the on-premise piece, that's where the local storage piece of the solution actually takes effect. We believe that the working set of data is where local data should be, on-premise, on top of the Store Simple appliance, and through the mechanisms associated to cloud tiering, cloud snapshots, which we'll talk about later, that data eventually moves to Azure. I talked about the target use cases in the slide before. This is just an expansion of our target use case and where we're seeing users actually adopting this solution today. So, for example, if you take archives, APEX in terms of X-ray imaging and so forth, CCTV is another example. SharePoint, we have a great solution with SharePoint in terms of database optimization. Who looks after SharePoint here? Anybody? No? Yes? So SharePoint, you have content databases, and those content databases are SQL, and SQL is good at storing data, but it's not designed necessarily for storing blob content and files. We can actually solve that by using remote blob storage and pointing that to actually the on-premise StoreSimple solution, and in turn, your SQL databases associated to your SharePoint farms will remain optimal, will remain small, will remain quick, and that data, in terms of deduplication and so forth, will actually tier off to the cloud in your SharePoint farm, so you can happily grow. VMs, virtual machines, we are certified. I'll talk about that later. File shares through Windows 2012 clustering, we actually provide a compelling solution in terms of NSF, SIS, and SMB3, which is a fantastic opportunity for those customers that currently have other storage solutions that provide the same or similar solution set. And of course, virtual machines, where 60 to 70% of the current worldwide workload is actually virtual today. So this is how it actually looks out at a 20,000 foot view. You've got your application servers. They seamlessly connect to the Store Simple appliance over iSCSI. On the Store Simple appliance, you have two tiers of storage. You have SSD for the most active working set. And then afterwards, on top of that, you have actually a SAS tier, which is a slower tier, a larger tier, and it's for your warm data set as opposed to your cold. So it's still there, still residing on-premise, not quite ready, hasn't made the mark to actually tier off to Azure, but it's there on-premise for your applications and service to pull back that quicker without that latency drag that you would expect if you're pulling data directly from the WAN from Azure. The speed of SSD and SAN plus the elasticity of cloud, we have the flexibility to scale into Azure. Per storage account, we can scale up to 200 terabytes. In terms of the Store Simple configuration, a storage account is associated to a cloud configuration. You can have up to 64 cloud configurations per the Store Simple appliance. So you can departmentalize your solution, you can do it per countries, you can do it per home folders or subsidiaries or companies, however you want. There's great flexibility in terms of the architecture here within this solution. The benefits of having this appliance on-premise and utilizing the DR and capability and cloud snapshots and tiering associated to it is we can consolidate primary storage, archive, backup, and disaster recovery quite sufficiently through one solution, which makes your jobs as administrators, you know, a lot easier in the long run. I mean, storage at the end of the day, it's really nice, the technology that's been around, but data is just growing too fast. Yeah, and we need a solution that will allow us to keep it simple and to provide a service to our end users and customers and business. So we'll delve into it a little bit more now. So the CIS architecture. So as I said before, it's a 2U appliance. It's iSCSI SAN storage with auto-tiering capability across SSD, SAS, and Azure. We have automated snapshots. Features we have also include primary deduplication and compression. We actually seamlessly integrate into Azure. So the, you know, our tiering, I need to elaborate on our tiering. Our tiering is not policy driven, okay? It is just simply you write to it and you're always gonna read and write to SSD, and I'll explain that a little later and how you then actually determine, well, where do blocks reside and so forth. From an enterprise perspective, we're VMware ready certified, so Microsoft purchased StorSimple towards the back of last year, and predating that, it was the first cloud integrated storage appliance that was certified under the VMware ready program for those people in the room who have virtual infrastructures under VMware. We're also certified under Windows 2008 R2 as well as Windows 2012. So you can, for those customers who have Hyper-V environments, that's also a good thing too. In terms of encryption and security, which I'm going to elaborate on later, you've got inside Azure, do people know Azure? Do people use Azure? I'm talking of Azure. Do you understand Azure? You understand the management platform? Great. So a storage account, what is that? So that's, you have Windows Azure, you have an enterprise agreement, and underneath that enterprise agreement, you have subscriptions. And within those subscriptions, therefore, you can delegate administration associated to those subscriptions to your administrators, who would be you and me. So we would log in under our email address, and we would have the subscriptions or the subscriptions that we're able to administer, i.e. the Azure resources. So we would require a storage account, and we would create a storage account. And in creating that storage account, we can select where, in which region, which data center region we actually want that data to reside. So we have the options of Western Europe, North Europe, Dublin, Amsterdam, the American data centers, as well as the Asian data centers too. So in our case, we would probably be suggesting either Western Europe, Dublin, or Northern Europe, Amsterdam. With that storage account, you have primary access keys associated to that. That is what you actually need to actually configure the cloud configuration from the StorSimple appliance, and that's how you actually connect to the Azure backend. When we actually connect to the Azure backend via the StorSimple appliance, we actually have something called encryption, or 256-bit encryption, which is important, right? You want your encryption to be data encrypted at rest, or in transit, or through an SSL tunnel, so we can provide that for you too. Deduplication and compression is actually a very important piece of our solution because it allows us to actually scale our on-premise solution as well as what happens in actually Azure. So storage accounts, they have a limitation today of 200 terabytes, but you can have multiple storage accounts, so there's no concern in terms of scalability there or performance. But in terms of the units that we're talking about, a 2U unit that is either 10 terabytes of local on-premise storage or 4 terabytes or 20 terabytes, depending and subject to your deduplication ratio, that is anywhere from on-premise storage 10 to 50 to 100 terabytes. So it really does depend on your deduplication ratios. So deduplication ratios, what can we expect from our workloads? So file, SharePoint, virtual machines, we're looking somewhere anywhere between 3 to 5 to 1. It's really going to depend on your workloads and how well your applications are, your applications and your operating systems are actually defined. In terms of imaging and media, that's going to be the lowest form of deduplication, but that's across any solution, and we're looking anywhere from 1.2 to 1.5 to 1. We also have the added benefit of compression as well, which enables us to actually scale on-premise as well as off-premise. One thing to note is that the cloud configuration is what you create volumes under. And one thing unique about our solution is that our deduplication solution is actually not per volume. It's actually per the appliance and per the cloud configuration overall, which makes the space savings associated to what we write on-premise and in Azure quite amazing. So the tiering now, and how does it work? So we have something called a weighted storage layout. Okay, so the weighted storage layout, pronounced whistle, okay, you can assume that the envelopes or the writing are just SCSI data over TCP/IP from your application servers going into this appliance. We have something called a block rank, so everything comes into the appliance is written to the SSD tier first. It's written to the SSD tier first, but there's two tiers which you don't see inside SSD. You've actually got a linear tier. A linear tier is where you get a write acknowledgement to your host before it's actually deduplicated. So there's no actual penalty in terms of the deduplication on the primary storage at the point where you're actually writing to this device. The device acknowledges the write, and therefore at a later point, it will actually deduplicate the blocks. Eventually, those blocks will actually deduplicate and stay in the SSD tier until they're no longer deemed hot. So what is deemed hot data? So it's just over time. It's not based on subatomic tiering, which probably maybe you're used to. It's actually you always write to SSD. You always read from SSD. Once your blocks become dormant, those blocks will actually tier off to the next available tier. They won't directly go to Azure. They will tier to the next available tier, which will be SAS. And eventually, a threshold will be met, and then again, the same mechanism will apply, and the blocks that are no longer being accessed or used will actually tier off to Azure. Frequently used data chunks, as I said, will always remain on the fastest tier, which is really, really good. So if you think about our largest appliance, which has, for example, maybe 2 terabytes of SSD tier available on the appliance. Think how many virtual machines you could probably apply to one appliance, or think how many files you can associate to that appliance or file shares. Quite a lot, actually, when you think about it in that way. A subset of your footprint, if you 50 terabytes is your footprint, after deduplication, let's say it's 25, and then if you take an 80-20 rule in terms of what's hot and what's not hot, and compression on top of that, you're probably looking at a working set of data of maybe 1 to 2 terabytes across your 50 terabyte footprint. Quick math. You know, it's always going to be different subject to the workload. So this is just an overview of an animation, that's the word I was looking for, an animation of actually what happens in terms of the blocks actually coming into the SSD linear tier. Okay, so as you see, we've got blocks A to E here. Some are already duplicated. And then afterwards, what will happen is once the acknowledgement is given, it will then be deduplicated onto the SSD tier. Okay, so the blocks will remain on the SSD tier. Remember, there's no tiering off until a threshold is met. And the threshold on each of these tiers is 85%. Okay, so you will continue to write to the SSD until you reach that 85% threshold. Once the appliant reaches that 85% threshold, there's going to be blocks there that are no longer fast, no longer frequently accessed. So for example, blocks C, D, and E will then actually move down to a lower tier because blocks A and B are still being frequently accessed, so they remain as they are. C, D, and E are now compressed as well as deduplicated, so that's extra space savings right there. And then eventually, the threshold on the SAS tier will also be met. And then it will be blocks D and E will actually tier off and move to the cloud into Azure. Now, what happens if you want to call back D and E? Does it have to go through all the tiers again? No, it doesn't. It actually, you know, if we pull back block E and the same for block D, what we'll see is that block E will go directly back into the SSD tier because it would be classified as a frequently accessed block once more, and then it will go through that cycle again. So if you take 100 users calling a file that was actually in Azure, that initial user would bring that block down, and then it would be available to the 99 users that were calling that file, and they wouldn't call it from Azure, they would call it from the appliance. Cloud security, a big one, given what's going on. I'm just checking my time. I'm good for time. So cloud security, I've talked about deduplication, I've talked about compression. The data is just broken up into chunks of blocks, okay? And then afterwards, you know, because of that data being into many blocks, and then afterwards, fingerprints and associated to those blocks and metadata associated to where those blocks actually reside on the appliance or inside Azure, there's a lot of obfuscation there. Obfuscation means there's a lot of layers. You know, it becomes unclear of where the data actually is or what it actually is. It's very difficult to undermine and actually see. Interpret is the word. As I said before, we actually have a military-grade 256-bit encryption. Now, I know there's concerns about, you know, what's going on with Snowden and the NSA. I believe that our solution and our appliance allows the control to ensure that your data can only be accessed from this appliance via this form of encryption. You are in control of the encryption keys, not us. Okay, so this data, this appliance is actually sitting on-premise inside your data center. So there's an element of control right there, because you know that your servers, which are on your data center, secure, are accessing the storage always from the appliance. Everything is encrypted if you choose it to be. You also have the option of not choosing it to be. Why you wouldn't do that? There may be some cases and scenarios where you don't need to encrypt data. Okay. But you have the option, you have the choice. And as I said before, each storage account will have its own encryption key. So it means that 64 storage accounts associated to one appliance, you can have 64 different encryption keys. So different departments even can have segregation and encryption at that layer too. So backup, DR, recovery. One of my favorite topics, actually, to be honest, so I'll try not to talk about it too long. But today, anybody look after backups today? And yes? What do you use, snapshots or clones, BCVs, or tape? Anyone still using tape for archive and compliance? Yeah? Okay. All right. Let's see if we can help you there. I mean, sometimes there's always a requirement to use tape. You can't get rid of it. We've seen in certain situations that we can eliminate tape through our solution, and I'll explain why. So we have our primary volumes, and our primary volumes, we have the option of a local snapshot. A local snapshot is a traditional snapshot that you're used to in storage speak. We have a cloud snapshot. As the name suggests, it's a snapshot that's in the cloud. But in terms of how that relates to on-premise traditional storage, that would actually be an associated replica. Okay, a replica that's sitting inside Azure, okay, which is a snapshot, a point in time. Now, our snapshots also are deduplicated as well. So they're very efficient in terms of how quickly we actually can perform those snapshots once the initial one is actually created, because it's just a change of the data. And snapshots are normally associated to volumes, but remember what I said before, our deduplication is associated to the appliance or the cloud configuration. So our deduplication in terms of the snapshots of those backups on those volumes, we can actually gain a lot of savings across all the snapshots in terms of the volumes that are actually on the appliance. Changes to local volumes will only be transferred. And obviously, our cloud snapshots, because they're now sitting somewhere else inside Azure, if we have an appliance with a cloud configuration, another appliance, we can actually mount those cloud snapshots available for restore, available for testing, available for DR quite quickly, quite easily. And we don't have to pull down the data, and I'm going to explain this a little later. Our backups are easy, and you're going to see how easy they are, because in the demo I'm going to be creating some. I'm going to show you some that have already been created, and I'm going to use real size drives, 1 terabyte, 2 terabyte, 3 terabyte, 4 terabyte, and I'm going to do restores and backups of those two. In terms of eliminating tape, let's say, for example, you have an offsite requirement, so that's great. So I've got my local snapshot. Maybe I don't want local snapshots. Then I've got a cloud snapshot in Azure. okay, that's only one copy. I need another copy somewhere. So you have the option in Azure of geo-replication. So geo-replication allows you to have multiple copies of what's sitting in Azure. So you can actually have at the back end your copies of backups associated inside one Azure data center, which could be Western Europe, which could be Dublin. And then afterwards, with geo-replication switched on, you can then have a duplicate set of that data or the cloud snapshots associated in another data center of your choice somewhere else. So you've got that geographic protection. And that could be, for example, Amsterdam, North Europe. With one, two, three copies of snapshot data across the cloud configuration, you can generally satisfy most audit requirements. Most. I won't say all, because there's always going to be a certain situation that requires you to keep tape, if the requirement exists. So in terms of our cloud snapshots and what they do, so we've got our production data center one here, and that has servers connected to the Store Simple appliance, and it has cloud snapshots tiering to Azure. Now, the importance of cloud snapshots is actually more than just backup. Remember, I talked about the life cycle of the blocks. So the life cycle of blocks, they actually tier into SSD, and eventually then they actually move to SAS, and eventually we know they're going to tier off to Azure. Well, that's a lot of traffic, actually. If you're generating a lot of change, that's a lot of traffic. So what we actually do is we actually utilizing the cloud snapshot mechanism, which is actually what you want to back up. So from a frequency of 15 minutes to 30 minutes to an hour to daily to weekly to monthly, we actually send those data blocks already into Azure as part of the backup process. So when it comes time for the appliance to actually say, hey, you go, I've got this subset of blocks that needs to tier off to Azure, it actually knows because the metadata associated, because the blocks are already associated to previous backup sets that were actually completed a month ago inside Azure, it actually won't send and transport those blocks again. It will just update the pointers to the original block. And that's the metadata map. So that makes the snapshot process even more efficient. That's actually quite remarkable. You actually do want to use cloud snapshots so you don't actually tier off to the cloud, if you understand, even though you are. So it's a little weird, but it's great how it works. So in this scenario, we've got our copies of our cloud snapshots. And let's say, for example, we've got Enterprise Data Center 2, which is a location somewhere else that we've got ready in terms of a warm standby state. Something happens to our production data center. So let's just add some figures into that. So we've got 100 terabytes provisioned to our production data center servers, a Hyper-V cluster, for argument's sake. Okay, so that's our VMs now gone because something's happened to that production data center. So that's our last known good snapshot was 15 minutes ago. Okay, so our VMs are VSS consistent, ready to actually be turned on from 15 minutes ago. So does that mean I have to pull down 100 terabytes from Azure? No, it doesn't. What I do is I actually pull down first I need the cloud configuration implemented on the appliance, which is just an initial setup, or you could just have a backup file associated to the appliance and you just actually recover it. It's pretty much an import of an XML file. And then afterwards, you're ready to actually search those mountable cloud snapshots in Azure. You choose your volumes, you choose the point in time which you want to recover. What happens at that stage is that we download the metadata and only the metadata. In downloading the metadata, and the metadata is associated 0.1% of your data set of your storage footprint. So we only download the metadata, and downloading the metadata then means that we're able to mount the cloud snapshots within minutes sometimes. I say sometimes because it depends on the size. You'll see the next slide. It depends on the next couple of slides. It depends on the size of the volume. Okay, so it can be from minutes to 15 minutes. It depends on the size of the volume. But it's actually a lot quicker. I'll show you with a 4-terabyte drive how quickly it is to recover in demo. Okay, but it's very, very fast. So if we assume 100 terabytes provisioned, and then let's assume we've got 50% utilized, so let's say 50 terabyte use, and then let's assume now our working set Let's assume deduplication is constant, compression is constant. So our working set of data, let's say, is 2 terabytes, 3 terabytes. So all the swap file associated to those VMs and so forth. So that's all the data we would need to actually pull down, to actually bring those machines online. The rest of the data would just be there in the cloud, ready to be brought down when it's actually required, which is great, right? Because for DR, now I no longer need a duplicate set of data to actually have DR. Yes, I need the appliance, but the appliance is a 2U appliance or 4U appliance sitting in your data center. It's not racks or multiple racks of 42 U's associated to different storage footprints, associated to my clustering of my Hyper-V. It's quite remarkable, and I'll show you this later. I've talked about most of this already. I should have actually jumped to the slide. Forgive me, but you can see from the process we import the appliance information from the original appliance, so the cloud configuration, the credentials that you require, and of course the encryption key associated to the data if you need to read it because it's inside Azure already encrypted. We do a registry download, which is effectively the metadata associated to those cloud snapshots. And then afterwards, we're able to then mount those snapshots on a volume through the cloning process, and then your applications and your servers are ready to actually write and read to those volumes. And I'm going to show you this. Because of the way we do our cloud snapshots and our DR, we can see now how fast they actually are, and the demo will actually prove what I'm actually showing you now. With a 50 megabit WAN link, this was tested. So from 1 terabyte to primary data to 100 terabytes, we're recovering in less than a day from the cloud, as opposed to a tape backup or a regular cloud backup with a 100 megabits link WAN link. So there's a big difference there, especially when you're looking at the 5 terabytes or 20 terabytes in individual volumes. How am I for time? I'm good for time. Okay, so now we're going to go to the demo, and basically, because I've only got an hour, so I've got just over half an hour left, and I've still got a few more slides to go after the demo. Let's quickly go in here, and let's hope I haven't lost connectivity. Okay, how is visibility of that? Is that okay? Okay, great. I'm probably timed out. Let's just check. So I'm going to give you an overview. I've actually created a server. And in this server, I've actually created 4 volumes, I, J, K, and L. And demo, they're called demo 1, demo 2, demo 3, and demo 4. They're actually 1 terabyte, 2 terabytes, 3 terabytes, 4 terabytes. They've got demo folders inside them. The size of these folders are associated, nearly a gig or so in size, each folder. And multiple files, multiple folders in there. So the reason I've chosen this is A, because it's a demo, but at the end of the day, what are most systems today? Virtual machines or files? Your SharePoint, your deduplication, your content, they're associated files. So it works well for a demo. And in each of these, you have got different folders associated to the drives that I've created. So, yes, it has timed out. So this is the Store Simple appliance. It's administered one way through a web GUI or web user interface. And when you log in, you come to a nice landing page. Sorry, I'm just having challenges with the resolution. You come to a nice landing page when it's working. And in this landing page, it gives you a system overview of capacity available, capacity use, read and write IOPS, information that sometimes you actually want to know about. And you've got your common tasks associated to to setting up cloud configurations, configuring volumes, and so forth. So a cloud configuration is configured under here. So you've got cloud credentials associated. So the cloud credentials would be the storage account from Windows Azure, and the primary access key associated to that storage account. So in here, we've got SS Demo 01 Azure, which I'm using. And as you can see here, it's in use. And when I go to now to the cloud configuration, and I look at this, this is the information associated to the cloud configuration, the security in terms of data at rest encryption. Once it's set, you cannot change it. And one thing that's very important is the QoS template. So a QoS template is actually allowing you to actually set up a throttle. So it's not quality of service in terms of storage that we normally know. It's actually WAN throttle. I wish they'd actually changed the name, and maybe they will. So what this does is it allows you to actually set up a schedule in terms of limiting the cloud snapshot bandwidth that can be used on the appliance. So if you've got snapshots happening every 15 minutes or every 13 minutes over the period of 24/7, you actually want to set up a schedule so that during your working hours, that's kept to a minimum. It's not going to affect your internet use in terms of your business use, maybe. But off-peak hours, you can actually increase that limit. And then weekends, maybe you can increase it even further. In terms of configuring volumes, so as you can see here, I've created my volumes, demo 1, demo 2, demo 3, demo 4. Let's create demo 5, because I want to show you how quick it is to actually create a volume. And so demo.005. We'll select the cloud configuration. So here I have 2. This has probably been used by someone in New Zealand based on Wellington. So 5, let's say 5 terabytes or 500. Let's do 500. I've got 4 terabytes already. So security in terms of access control records, this is just pretty much associated in iSCSI. This is access control records saying which servers are associated to this appliance via the IQN, the storage initiator, using iSCSI software initiators. And you can define a LUN number if you so want to. And so if I go to my computer manager now, there you go, there's the 500 drive. It's online. Initialize. Great. Oops. I'm looking for a, why is that like that? So I just need to change my view. Apologies. Okay. So create a volume. IJKLM. So in this case, let's choose O. So everyone knows how to do this. I'm just doing this very quickly. So great, so my volume is actually associating, and I've given it the letter drive O, and then afterwards I would now go into the data protection console from StoreSimple. So previously I talked about volumes I, J, and K, and L, which are here. Let's just minimize this. Okay, so the volume O has now actually appeared because it knows this is associated to the server which I'm on. And now I can actually go in and start creating volume groups which I need to actually then define my policies, which are my cloud snapshots. So I'm going to choose O, accept. So that's there. So I've got demo 05 there, policies. Now I'll create a policy. Oops. So creating policies, these are the options that you have associated to creating policies. So you have a local snapshot, cloud snapshot or a cloud clone. Cloud clones are actually going to be deprecated, so we won't talk about much about those, but it's just another cloud snapshot directly actually in a secondary data center, as opposed to using geo-replication, which we recommend. The reason we say use geo-replication, because it's not double the cost. If you use cloud clones, it is double the cost. Okay, so this is why we're going to deprecate it, meaning it's not going to be available in a couple of releases. Schedules associated to cloud snapshots, because this is a demo, we'll start it now. So let's look at the time, because this is, we have to be careful here. This is 6 a.m. in the morning. So let's see if we can catch one at 6:01. Okay, daily, we'll repeat, and because it's a demo, we'll say repeat every 15 minutes, and we'll say general. And retention, you have an option in terms of retention. Any one policy can have up to 64 points. So because this is a demo, let's just choose 8 for now. And let's just give it a name. So a name that makes sense would be demo 05, and accept. So now I'm going to have in here a cloud snapshot scheduled for demo 05, which is this one. And it's going to start, oops, I missed it. Or did I? Damn it. I missed it. 6:01. Let's change the time of that very quickly. And it's a cloud snapshot I want it to be. Cloud snapshot, schedule, 6:01, 6:03. Okay. Okay. Scheduled. Okay, so at 6:03, you see I'm going to have two snapshots running at the same time, but it doesn't matter. So I'm going to have demo 05 and demo 03 running. Snapshot's going to next run at 6:03. That's fine. You can do that. So while that's actually going to be running, and I'll show you eventually when it completes, we'll actually see here a demo 05 backup copy actually appear here. So in the meantime, I've got my cloud snapshots associated to demo 1. As you can see, they've been running for the past maybe an hour or so because I configured them up before I actually came here. Okay, so this is associated to my iDrive. J is associated to demo 02. K03, L04. So let's choose, for example, a 2 terabyte drive. So demo 02. So let's see, demo 02, what's this? What's here? So let's say, for example, someone decides inadvertently to delete a folder. So this folder, let's see how large it is. So this folder here is 800, almost a gig. So demo 02, we'll delete it. Always get concerned when I delete files, but even it's a demo, but storage guy. So you need now to recover from a last point in time snapshot. So you go to J, and you can go to 545, and you can click right stick, restore, and you get a warning message. So what is this warning message actually? So if we chose restore, and we didn't have this warning message, what the restore command does is actually overwrites the entire volume. Okay, I don't want to do that. I just actually want to actually mount a cloud snapshot and recover the file system that I've deleted, or the volume, the folder that I've deleted. So in this scenario, if I wanted to continue, I'd have to type confirm. I'm not going to do this. I'm not shying away from this test. I'm going to do this after. I just want to do one at a time. So in the scenario that I want to recover an individual folder, I will say clone. So what's going to happen now is I can say clone for demo.002. Okay, and I can assign a different drive letter, and I choose the letter T, for example. And I say accept. So now, as I talked about before, now what's happening is the metadata we already have, because the appliance is there, it's going to bring down that folder and that that volume, and it's going to mount it as a drive letter T on the server. And we will see here how long it takes, because we'll have a green tick associated to this job, and also we can see the job running in here. It will be finished fairly shortly. If we look at our disk manager, it's actually already completed. I can already tell. There's my T. And if I go into my computer now, there's my T, and I believe it was folder 3 that I deleted. And as you can see, inside I have folder 3, all my files. Let's just look at the data associated to that. Same folder. So I just right-click, copy, and I pull that back in there. And that's me actually performing a restore from Windows Azure from that cloud snapshot, not a local snapshot of that amount of data. So now let's choose a larger volume. Let's say my L drive. My L drive is 4 terabytes. And now I've still got the same folder structure because it's a demo. But in this scenario, let's assume that, well, file system corruption or something's gone wrong. So how do we simulate that? Well, we'll just delete those 2 folders. So I'm deleting almost 2 terabytes. No, 1.5 actually, my counting. So, yes. So demo 04, if I go back into my data protection console, demo 04, cloud snapshot, I can go to my last good snapshot, which was 551. I can choose any of these, but I'll just choose 551. It was the last one. And in this scenario, let's just check. So it's gone, completely empty. Okay, not there. In this scenario, I will do the restore. So I'm going to overwrite now. So for those who actually know storage, this is a BCV clone operation, restore. And it's a 4 terabyte volume. So it's this one here, 4 terabytes. So confirm. So now that job's going to run. So I'm not timing it, but I reckon it will take around 2 to 3 minutes to actually recover that volume in its state, maybe even less. That's not pulling down all the data. It's just pulling down the metadata, the metadata associated to that volume. So it will have access to it, and it will be able to read and write to those files. So we can see the job running. And look, there's my demo 05. That's that cloud snapshot that I created in here, 603, completed. Now, I didn't have any files or folders in there. Okay, and my demo 04 has completed already. So that was almost a minute, right, for 4 terabytes, or a 4 terabyte volume, let's say. Let's go back in there. There you go. It's back. And that's me reading those files. Shall I open something? Let's open something. I mean, I've shown you that fairly quickly because I'm used to doing these. My PDF. But this is actually quite remarkable in terms of what actually you're achieving here. I know the technology makes it work, but could you do that with what you've got today on premise? Yes? How much would it cost you to do it? That's the question, right? Yeah. So in terms of 5, we can see that, and then I afterwards, once I'm done with my restores, I can just go into my volumes. And that clone volume, I don't need it anymore. That was from the previous operation. I can just select right-click, delete. And even the clone volume, it's asking you to confirm that you want to remove it. And obviously, that's just removing the mount, the clone. It's not actually deleting the snapshot. And then that's our snapshots there. And these policies, you can create per volumes. You can have multiple volumes inside a volume group. You can set them per BCP requirements, so you can have your gold, your silver, your bronze. There's so many ways that you can actually achieve your recoverability in a simple, effective, cost-effective way. So that's the demo in terms of backup and restore. If I had 2 appliances, I would show you a demo of a DR. I have a video recording, but I know how much you hate those. You like to see the real thing. But maybe I'll be able to make the video recording public, which talks about two sites. I've demoed the whole thing, two sites end-to-end, recorded, created, and doing a site recovery scenario cross-site. So that would be interesting to actually see it work. So back to the slides. So cloud economics. So just on what you've seen, we'll talk briefly about a 50 terabyte footprint. And normally what we've talked about is installations. Traditionally we'll have on the left all these products or technologies or processes associated to actually managing and operating storage on the left. So, you know, these are estimated figures, but they're quite realistic. Depending on a footprint, tier one, tier two, and tier three, and I believe they're quite realistic. And then with our appliance on the right, there is a compelling, a significant advantage in terms of the simplicity, because that is one GUI, one console, used to manage your primary storage, your backup, your DR, and your archive data. We can achieve that through the hybrid cloud storage model. That's quite significant. I mean, how many of you have archiving associated to your storage footprints today? How many of you have DR? And DR processes, are they complex? Are they manual? Are they automated? Or do you have active data centers where you have virtual storage and you're paying licensing associated to how much storage you actually virtualize? And you have an RPO of RTO of zero. Those applications require that. But what about the other applications that have a lower RPO and RTO? You know, your tier two, tier three. For simplicity, it's all umbrellaed inside that active footprint. But in terms of actually reality, what's required? You know, you have to think about the hybrid cloud storage model. You know, because it's a new paradigm, it's different to traditional storage methodologies that we've been used to. And I think it has a great future ahead of us. This is just an example of previous, just a rundown of the cost. You can see it in the tables, and you can see significant savings in terms of the cost associated to a 50 terabyte footprint associated versus the traditional and the Store Simple cost. Now, one thing I must point out is you have a Store Simple appliance and you've got 50K commitment inside Azure. That's not only for storage, right? There's bigger things happening here. So you've got not only the access available to a storage account, but you've got now all the resources available inside Azure available to you. You've got test and dev virtual machines that maybe perhaps you can create. You've got the other features inside Windows Azure that you may actually need to create. You want to quickly build something, build it. You want to scale down, scale down. You can do so many things inside Windows Azure. It's actually remarkable. Now, I talked about some customer options and solutions and where we see architectures being successful in terms of customers today. Branch offices and files, definitely. Okay, so I'm on Hyper-V virtual machines. Let me talk about this one and I'll jump back. The order was slightly wrong. So branch office and files. So through Windows 2012, file services, DFSR, you can actually have one location which has all your storage associated to your files shares. And then afterwards, you can have DFSR replication associated to all those remote offices. And those remote offices, you no longer have to do backups over the WAN. You simply have DFSR associated to the copies and the changes over your WAN, and the backups are handled centrally by the Store Simple appliance. Another solution is associated to virtual machines. You have a Hyper-V cluster and files, they are. And effectively, you have your guest virtual machines running on the Hyper-V cluster via cluster shared volumes associated provision from the Store Simple appliance. A customer actually in Norway, an oil and drilling customer, they have per virtual machine, they have a project running. And this project, their software analyzes, I don't understand exactly how it works, but it analyzes the drilling that is happening on site through this software and creates lots and lots of image data and files. So for them, they actually found a great unique fit for this because it meant that they didn't need to have a huge on-premise storage footprint to do their analysis. They had the SSD access that they needed when they needed it, and they had the scalability to actually grow into Azure. And each virtual machine, where I say guest, each virtual machine was a siloed project per customer. So each virtual machine was associated to a storage account. So to summary, it is recognized globally. It's certified. Pre-acquisition, it was actually Best of VMware World 2011 finalists. There's a lot of interest in terms of IDC and Gartner in this space. So expect a lot of analyst reports coming out in the near future because hybrid cloud storage is actually a growing market. I did say that within the next 2 to 3 years, $15 billion is going to be spent on this market in the public space. There's numerous awards being won. We're VMware ready, and we're certified on our product too, which is very, very good. So closing statements. If I could give you an option that would allow you to consolidate your primary archive backup and DR for your tier three options, that's worth considering. I believe from the backup and recovery perspective, I've shown in the demo and in real life, it's exactly the same. You can actually see that. You know, from a commercial perspective, there's no cost, there's no licensing associated to what you back up, how much you deduplicate. It's all bundled in the price. It's a $50K as your commitment. And the Store Simple appliance on top. From the economics that we're seeing, there's 60 to 80% lower total cost of ownership. I'm a technology person, and technology and costs, sometimes I put costs aside, but these are compelling costs, so I can't actually leave them out. They actually are very, very compelling. And given the adoption associated to having an Azure commitment, it enables you as businesses, as individuals, to actually adopt cloud computing through the Azure subscriptions that you need to have for this model to work. I put some useful links here. So you've got the Cloud Integrated Storage homepage for Microsoft. There's a great book written by Mark Farley. So if you know Mark Farley, he's a storage veteran in the industry. He's been around for 25 years. He's worked at Left Hand. He's worked at 3PAR. You know, he's based out in California. He's actually written a great book about rethinking enterprise storage in terms of how hybrid cloud storage may change the way we actually develop solutions in the future. Okay, and also Mark Farley has kindly created a 9-minute video, which effectively is a chalkboard talk, which basically consolidates the whole hybrid cloud storage solution with Store Simple and Azure, and I highly recommend you actually go to see that. It's 9 minutes, so if you've got 9 minutes of time, you know, you can just watch it on your phone. And that's the end of the deck. Just 2 minutes, 2 minutes remaining. And before we do go into anything, I need to actually make an announcement in terms of a session change. So anyone that was actually going to the Active Directory, it's changing, and it's going to be Fabric Manager, Virtual Machine Manager, 2012. And I hope you enjoyed the session. And that's it. Okay.